It's an AU basketball game. Closely fought game between two evenly matched teams, and with 6 seconds to go, one team hits a shot to take a 1-point lead. The other team's center grabs the ball, throws it up court to a forward streaking down the line, who throws it to the point guard at the center court, who throws it to the shooting guard at the 3-point line, who turns around and almost takes a shot, and then sees the other forward streaking to the goal, throws an alley-oop to this great leaper, who grabs it and lays it in. And they win by a point. 6 seconds. All five players touch the ball. The ball never touches the ground. The ball goes to the hoop. The team wins. And I am their coach. Now, I've coached a lot of teams at championship levels. I've also coached some really bad teams. And I can tell you that winning teams share certain characteristics. And chief among them is this: everyone on the team knows their role, and everyone on the team takes it seriously and does it. What if when the ball went through the hoop, my center had grabbed it and said, "Well, we're going to lose"? It had been a self-fulfilling prophecy. What if he'd thrown it to the forward and the forward said, "Well, I can't take the winning shot. I'm just going to hang on to it"? What if the shooting guard had got the ball and said, "I'm just going to throw one up"? Instead of throwing the ball to the best leaper on the team. The only reason the play succeeded was because everybody saw their role and did it. Now, Paul was a great coach. Paul was a great coach, always challenging the church to do something amazing, challenging himself to spread the gospel in a world that needed it. And one of the fundamentals that he stressed was everyone in the family of God has to know they have a role. And everyone's role is important. The eye can't say to the ear, "I don't need you," or the ear to the mouth, "I don't need you." Everyone has a role. Everyone has a purpose in making the family of God work. When every single one of us on a team or in the body of Christ realizes, "I have a role to play, and my role is crucial to the health of the body of Christ," that's when the team functions best. Know your role and take it seriously and fulfill it. As I say, Paul was a great coach, always challenging the church to do amazing things. And one of the reasons he was able to do so is because he was a person who exuded confidence in the power of God. Winning teams expect to win. Winning teams are filled with confidence. What does Paul say? "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." If God is for us, who can be against us? Confidence generates expectations. Expectations define performance. Some years ago, a professor decided to do an experiment. Had two classes of equal ability. He goes to one class and said, "Now, class, this test is really hard. I don't expect you to do well, but just do your best." He goes to the other class and says, "This test is really easy. It's a breeze. You're going to just sail through it." Two classes, similar abilities. What happened? The class that thought it was hard made it hard, and they struggled. The class that thought it was easy made it easy, and they succeeded. Confidence. Confidence matters. The reason that early church was able to succeed is because they really believed, I can do all things through Christ. If God is for us, who can be against us? Know your role. Live with confidence in the power of God. And develop a keen sense of personal responsibility. The only way I can describe this is negatively. And through what I call the parable of the mayonnaise jar. Now, I warn you, after today, you may never eat mayonnaise again. But when I was a seminary student, I lived with three other guys in a house, and we were all slobs. And I was the neatest of the slobs, but that wasn't saying much. But one day, I came home from class, and there was a mayonnaise jar sitting on the kitchen table. And I thought, I am so tired of picking up after these guys. I am going to leave this mayonnaise jar until somebody puts it back. Well, a day passed, another day passed, 3 days passed, a week passed, and about day 10, that mayonnaise jar had taken on a really interesting green tint. And so I called the guys together. I said, guys, this was a test, and you failed it. Now, who left the mayonnaise jar out? And you already know the answer. Not me, not me, not me. None of us had developed that keen sense of personal responsibility for the health and function of the whole. What makes an organization succeed, what makes the body of Christ succeed, is when everybody says, I am responsible to help make this organization move forward. How much stuff in a church doesn't get done because we think somebody else will do the job. Somebody else will make the investment. Somebody else will make the sacrifice. Somebody else will commit. I can step back. How many things in the family of God or on a team? Somebody else can go get the rebound. Keen sense of responsibility is essential to a church, to the body of Christ, to our individual faith, and to any team. Winning teams communicate. Communicate well, even when they disagree. Some years ago, I was driving through Atlanta, and there was a billboard that said, Go Braves, and take the Falcons with you. Now, this was back in a day when both teams were really, really bad. And I remember that year watching the Braves play. They were actually winning a game late in the game, and the batter hit a fly ball over the second baseman's head, and he's going back like this. And the right fielder's coming in, and suddenly the second baseman pulls away, and the right fielder lets it drop at his feet. Two runs score, and the Braves lose yet again. And the cameras followed the second baseman and the right fielder to the dugout. And the second baseman's trying to talk to the right fielder, who throws his glove down and turns his back and stalks away. Losing teams don't communicate. Winning teams, winning families, winning bodies of Christ communicate well, even on issues on which we disagree. Winning teams do fundamentals well. They do the simple things with passion. What does Jesus say? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. How simple is that? Follow that fundamental. What does Paul say? Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things, and love never ends. Simple. simple, fundamental. Jesus says, you want to be a Christian? Go be fishers of people. Recruit, bring them into the family of God and the banquet table, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Simple. What did the choir sing about? Feed the hungry, clothe the naked, minister to the oppressed, comfort the afflicted, and do it like you were doing it to Christ. Simple. When we love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, and mind, when we're fishers of people and recruit them to God's banquet table, when we reach out to the oppressed, when we love with a love that bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things, those are the fundamentals of the faith. It's what defines a Christian. They're simple. But can we do the fundamentals? Five, winning teams recruit new talent, and winning teams use that talent. Imagine a couple of months from now, Roger Goodell, NFL commissioner, goes to the microphone and says, with the number one pick, the Atlanta Falcons choose Roquan Smith, linebacker, the University of Georgia. And then they interview the Falcons coach and he says, yeah, we think he's a great talent, wonderful kid, but we're not going to play him. We're going to keep the same bad defense we had last year. The reporter would be puzzled. The fans would go crazy. What organization recruits new talent and then doesn't use it? Churches. Churches. We don't take seriously enough the need to recruit new talent and bring it into the body of Christ. And then when we do, we don't make use of the gifts and perspective. We have the same old people do the same old jobs they've always done. Winning organizations have a passion for recruiting and making use of the talents of those people willing to splice their lives into the family. Seventh and finally, winning organizations keep before their eyes what really matters. What really matters. Some years ago, there's an NFL player bounced from losing team to losing team, and finally he was on a team that was always competing for the Super Bowl, and somebody asked him, is there a difference in the locker room? And he said, oh yeah. All of the losing teams majored on minors. This winning team majors on what matters. How many organizations, including God's churches, major on the minors? How many of us keep before us what we're really meant to be about? We're not meant to be about meetings. We're not meant to be about committees. We're not meant to be about passing organizational charts. We're meant to be about the kingdom of God, embodying the kingdom of God, expanding the kingdom of God. Sometimes I think we spend more time fretting about lighting the parking lot than lighting the world. Winning teams keep before their eyes what they're really meant to be about. Are we really fostering a spirit of unity? Are we really supporting each other in love? Are we really recruiting people to the banquet table of grace? Are we living with a love that bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things? We have one God, one body, one spirit, one Father of us all. And our role is to embody and expand the kingdom. But so often we let our attention be diffused upon lesser things. I want to go back to that moment that I started the sermon with, that moment where all five players touched the ball and scored the winning goal. I go back to that lesson because it teaches me something about myself. For you see, not only have I coached a lot of teams in person, like many of you, I've coached a lot of teams through the television. I can't tell you how many times I've yelled instructions to teams who can't hear me as I'm screaming at the television. And how many times in close games when one team scores a basket, I've yelled at the television, "Call a timeout, call a timeout." And I'd say to anyone next to me, a good coach has to call a timeout in this moment to set up a play. And yet, here I was in the moment. And I started to call a timeout, and some instinct said to me, "Don't. They know what to do." And after the game was over, the opposing coach said, "I was sure hoping you would call a timeout so I could set up my defense." What did I learn? I learned, even after a lifetime of yelling, "Call timeout," you don't learn anything from the outside. You learn everything from inside the game. There are people who look at us as Christians and go, "God, they're making a mess of things. I could do better if I try." Then try. People who look at us and go, "I could be a better Christian than that if I wanted to." Well, then won't to. You can't learn anything about the kingdom of God, about the nature of faith, about the nature of God, about the nature of the body of Christ from the outside. You have to learn it from the inside. But when you commit from the inside, you can help make real the kingdom of God and the very body of Christ on this earth. From the inside, you can apply the lessons that make this group, any group, a winning team. May we pray together. Lord, you have equipped us and you've challenged us. But the question is, will we commit to you? Will we come to faith on the inside and truly learn what it means to serve you in this place? Through our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Even